Take your Bibles, if you will. Turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. Now, I do believe I mentioned this morning to come out tonight to see who was going to be speaking. My hope was that Pastor Ken would be up and about. But he sent me a text this afternoon, and here I am. Genesis, chapter 1. Some call it the greatest verse in the Bible. It's the opening verse, and with it, it establishes much. And it says, in the beginning. Whose beginning? God's beginning? The universe's beginning, right? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy. We thank you for the grace that is shed upon us. Lord, we thank you that we have the privilege of living here in the United States of America. And help us, Lord, to remain faithful to the Word of God until you call us home. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. If you would, turn over to chapter 1, verse 31. Chapter 1, verse 31. And it says, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was what? Not just good, very good. In the evening, in the morning, were the sixth day. And it was very good. In Sunday school this morning, Pastor Stephen was talking about the promised land that Israel has been offered by our God. And it's amazing how much of it really is not property and land that we would really want. And I remember one time, Dr. Fleming, you mentioned the fact it was at one time a land that flowed with milk and honey. And do you remember how many men it took to carry the grapes? Two. What has happened? Why is it today almost a cursed land, a land that isn't all that much of value? Well, the fact is, sin entered the world. If you would, chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. This serpent, who at that time walked on all fours, who had, in this case, apparently been possessed by the evil one. I have told you that if you go to the Creation Museum outside of Dallas, Texas, and you walk through the Garden of Eden display, that the serpent is there, and as you walk by, he laughs at you. That's because he knows we're easy targets. Don't ever think you can defeat Satan in your own power. Don't ever believe that you are able to go to battle with him in just your own strength. You cannot. Eve, at that time, had never sinned. And she couldn't keep up with him, or Adam either. But we find that sin enters the world, and where sin is, nothing is good. Sin corrupts. It takes us apart from our Lord. Sin creates division. Do you not think that is what a problem we have in our society today is division? Absolutely. Would you take your Bibles and turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And you, Paul is writing to this group of believers in Ephesus, and you hath he what? Quickened. What's it mean to quicken? To make alive. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others, among whom also we had all had our conversation. What does the word conversation there mean? Our lifestyle, how we live. But there is an interesting thought in verse 2. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, notice, according to the prince of the power of the air, the airwaves. Let me ask you a question. In our society today, is there a God that most people are carrying around in their pocket? Yeah? There is a, I left my cell phone up on the pulpit. That's because I can't put it in my pocket because I've got the speaker thing in my pocket. Have you ever noticed that even in our world where we're not supposed to talk on the telephone while we're driving, that there are still people who just can't help themselves? They're there. Have you ever noticed you go in some place and as soon as people walk into the waiting room or walk into a certain area, what is the first thing they want to do? They want to check their cell phones. Now, cell phones are amazing, wouldn't you agree? I mean, they are really amazing. The computer power of our cell phones is staggering. Now, in 1971, I graduated from Stevenson High School. Any fellow Titans here? I know there are some. Yeah. And I went to Bible college with a typewriter, a manual typewriter. What do you think most college students would think about that? Huh? Now, I had to get married to get an electric typewriter. Yeah, Donna was really up to date. Yes. Technology moves along. But why is it as technology moves along, it seems to draw us away from the Lord if we're not careful? Now we have the internet. We know that on the internet there are many good things. Someone told me the other day they had a problem with an appliance in the car and they went to YouTube and they found what the problem was and they fixed it. And that's pretty good, right? Yeah. Rudy helped me one time on a dryer and the work we did was something we found on the internet through the YouTube. That's good. But are there a lot of bad things on? Yes. Who do you think's behind that? Is it our government? No, it's Satan. Satan's desire is to bring us down, to take us from the Lord. Someone was telling me a while back that they were doing something and one of those pop-up ads came on. Do we all know what those pop-up ads are? Good, I'm glad. But they said it was vulgar. They didn't ask for it, and there it was. Who's behind it? Satan. Folks, we have to be careful. We must be careful. You ever watch a TV program or a movie where they're just bringing the telephone system into a village or a township, like Little House on the Prairie, and they bring it in? You remember Mrs. Olson there at the restaurant? What was Mrs. Olson doing on the telephone, or at the telephone line? She was listening to other people, right? Yeah. Why is it that the telephone is so interesting and people like to what? Talk. My dad once said about a person, and I won't name them because some of you might know them. He said, they talk so much, half of what they say cannot be true. Yeah, the power of the air. Even this evening, we're seeing the power of the air, aren't we? Back there, we have the camera high. There may actually be some people watching tonight. Yes. Here we have the power of the air. We can use it for good, right? But what's Paul talking about? That which is good or that which was evil? Evil. Must we be on guard? May I encourage you? Be on guard. It's something that we cannot take for granted. We have to realize that there are opportunities to fall away from the Lord so very quickly. And Paul is saying here, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. What is the course of this world? It's away from God, isn't it? Yes. At the Tower of Baal, were they walking the direction of the Lord? No, they were not. See, man's desire is to walk away from God. And it says here, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Disobedience. Now, I remember I was in the fourth grade, or it could be the fifth. You do remember that I'm 70, and I don't exactly remember, but it was either fourth or the fifth. It was at Auburnshire Elementary School, which is no longer there. They raised it to the ground. And the teacher was called to the office, and she left that class of students alone. And as she went out, she said, I don't want any of you talking. And nobody talked. What do you think would happen in a school today if they left a room empty? Would we see that same response, that nobody would talk? Because the teacher said, I'll be back. Or was Auburnshire just had the most brilliant students around? Huh? Why is it that we have drifted away from obedience? Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Isn't that today's society's motto? No. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I'm going to do what I want to do. What happens when we say that and we follow that advice? Most likely we're going to be going in the course of the world, which is which way? Away from the Lord. Away from God's desire. God's plan. Notice verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation. We sang a song this morning in Sunday school about our Redeemer. Do you ever realize what a blessing it is to have the Redeemer in our lives? Have you ever pondered what a blessing it is to have this blessing of salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord? Among also we had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Pastor Ken has brought up on any number of times the billboards that we see along the road with commercials for pot or weed. And I saw one yesterday that said, we'll give you free weed. Isn't that amazing? The drawing us away from that which is right. Notice, and we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Hellfire awaits those that do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. The bulletin this morning asked, is mission still necessary? The answer is yes. It is still necessary. New churches are needed in the United States of America. Oh, we need gospel preaching churches. We ask the Lord, bless America. God bless America. How is that done? Through gospel preaching churches. But then we come to verse 4. I like how Paul says, this is the way that we were. But God. Do you like those two words? But God. Is this the God who is the creator in Genesis 1:1? But God, who is what? Rich in mercy. Thank God for His mercy. Our sins make us worthy of hell. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us. It's hard to love something that is spoiled. We had a pumpkin out in the front yard of our house. We had a wagon, and actually there were three pumpkins in this wagon. And the squirrels attacked that pumpkin. They began chewing on that pumpkin. And they got through the pumpkin. And they began to get inside, I guess, and play around inside. I don't know. Maybe they wanted the seeds. I don't know if they were going to take them back home and roast them. I don't know. But what happened to that pumpkin? It went from being up like this to poof. How many of you want it now? Don't you want it?
No.
Well, why wouldn't you want it? It's still a pumpkin. Minus a few seeds. What is it? What'd you say?
Rotted.
Rotted, spoiled, undesirable. As humans, we become spoiled. What spoils us? Sin. What makes us unworthy to be lovable? Sin. But God still loves us. Do you find that amazing? I sometimes wonder, Lord, how can you love me? What's the number one sin in your life? Your thought life. Your thought life. Right now, some of you are thinking, I wish he'd get over. I want to know what the lions have done. Yeah. Our thought life. How many of you hadn't had dinner yet? How many of you are thinking, I want to go home and eat? Yeah. I think, Dr. Fleming, we're going to order pizza tonight. Yeah. No, not Jets. Carlos, probably. Yeah, but our thought life, does it get you into trouble? When we were at Golden Corral last night, and there was turmoil, and the Clinton Township police were called, do you think it was because they loved each other? And the food was thrown on the floor? And people were shouting? Huh? I have to hand it to one of the servers who got in there and was able to calmly talk this one guy down. Donna was worried. I wasn't worried. I was eating my soft cream. You know, let them do whatever they're going to do. As long as they don't pull out any weapons, I'm fine, right? Yeah. Well, they were right over there. Yeah. What causes that? Thought life. The one guy thought he was being targeted because of his ethnic background. Thought life gets us into trouble. It spoils us. And yet, God loved us. I'm not saying we ought to go out and sin to see how much He loves us, but we need to realize there's nothing in us that will make God love us any more than He already loves us. Let's continue reading. Verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. And then in parentheses, by grace, you're saved. Did Pastor Stephen tell us this in the morning service that we are saved because of Christ's love for us and we cannot earn our salvation? No, we can't. Verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. That kindness. Oh, Pastor Stephen, I think in the millennial reign there will be no televisions. Because Christ will be in control of what is going out over the airwaves. I think that there just simply won't be these type of things anymore. Verse 8. Now this is one of the greatest verses in the Bible. Would you agree? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. I asked my wife the other day what she would like for Christmas. And do you know what she said to me? said, she's trying to remember what she said. She said, I just like being with you. Isn't that nice? I just like being with you. Do you like being with the Lord? Yes. See, when we come to church, we're with the Lord, right? Where two or three are gathered together in his name, where is he? He's in the midst thereof to be with the Lord. Verse 9 says, not of works, lest any man should boast. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We deserve the wages that we've earned. But the gift, boy, I tell you what a blessing it is to have that gift that Jesus offers. And so everything now boils down to verse 10. And when we're done with verse 10, we'll be done. For we are his, what? Workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. If you were to come into our house, you would find a couple of music boxes. One was my mother's, one was Donna's mother's. Do you find music boxes to be interesting? You open the lid and music starts. But you have to open the lid. You know, you crank it up and the music plays. There's craftsmanship behind it. And maybe you have something in your house that is an antique that still works really good. Maybe you have a grandfather's clock that you have to take the two little weights and you move them up and then they start working their way down and the clock ticks and the workmanship that's involved. We are his workmanship. We are created for good works. We must be willing to work for the Lord. Now, let me ask you this. We're not a community like the Amish people or the old Quakers where they live together and their presence encouraged one another to continue in their faith. In a little bit, some of you are heading out to Macomb Township or Clinton Township or Washington Township. Some of you are in Utica or Shelby, and we're going in different directions, which means that most of the time we are what? We're apart. We're separated. So you're not going to get the strength from being around Pastor Ken or Pastor Stephen. Your strength must come from the Lord. We are his workmanship, created unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should what? That we should walk in them. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and it was very good. But something got in the way. And that something is still here today. But we still can be usable for the cause of Christ. Shall we stand together? Pastor Stephen will come and lead us in a song of invitation. How about 489? Now I know it's a Sunday night. But maybe you would just like to either sit back down where you're at and pray and ask the Lord to help you, or come to the altar, or maybe come to the front row and sit there and just ask the Lord, please, Lord, help me be usable for the cause of Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you would bless this time. May your name be honored and glorified at this time, and may the Holy Spirit move. And we ask, Lord, that your will would be done. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And again, with thanksgiving, amen.